Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Full Press NHL podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger. I'm pleased to be joined with a good friend of mine, Dennis Bernstein of the Fourth Period. He's the host of the Hot Stove on Sirius XM and has Kings of the Podcast with John Hovind, the mayor. Dennis, thank you for coming on.
Always great talking to you, JB. Happy to jump on the podcast.
And yeah, definitely, DB. I mean, you guys, Stanley Cup Finals rolling through. You've seen the Vegas Golden Knights most of this year.
Yeah.
I mean, did we expect this entering the final?
Given the way he played game six against Dallas, JB, yeah, that was a masterclass in depth, physicality, goaltending, and goal scoring. So, yeah, did I think at the start of the playoffs? No, because I thought they would beat Winnipeg. And then after that, I think I picked them against Edmonton. Didn't like them against Dallas, but this has been this team at least two games in, JB. They're playing to their strengths, which is rolling four lines, playing three pairs, and not getting into the nonsense that I don't know what Florida was doing in that second game. I know they were frustrated, but I picked them to win in six in this series. I think right now, unless something changes tonight in game three, I think it's a sweep. I think they're clearly the better team. Florida's going to have to play this like a game seven. They got to be the more desperate and more smarter team tonight if they have any chance of beating Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas has looked so good through two games. It reminds me a little bit of what we saw 2014 with your Kings. I know those games were a lot closer, but it has that feel like if Vegas wins tonight, we could have a sweep.
Yeah, I don't see that. I think they'll wave the white flag here in South Florida if it goes up 3-0. And it could, again, there has to be more focus. Matthew Tkachuk has to be better. Look, here's the deal. I joked after game two. Like, how many Ubers did Paul Maurice have to order to get 20 guys out of that building? Because no one showed up. I'm sorry. Nobody could look in themselves in the mirror after that game and say, hey, I played good. It was just, you know, sometimes it's a team win. That was a team loss. They need to refocus. They have to stop with the nonsense. Six misconducts. You know, you could play that way in January against Columbus, JB. You can't play that way in a cup final. Just not going to work. The teams are too good.
Yeah, DB, I totally agree with you. And you mentioned the undisciplined play by Florida. You know, what are some other things that Florida has to do? Obviously, Bobrovsky's got to be better, but they need more than just Matthew Tkachuk, right?
Yeah, they need better defensive play, more structure in the zone. You know, in game two, they look so slow. It's just, I don't really have a path to victory for them because they played so poorly. I think it's being opportunistic. You can't give the other team, and Vegas doesn't have a great power play, JD, but you can't go in the box seven times. You can't do that stuff. So I just think better structure, maybe better man-to-man defense in their own zone, because some of those goals were just easy. They were tap-ins. It's just overplaying, being, you have to be smart. Don't be overcommitted. And just, I think, play a more patient game. They didn't look very patient. They looked slow. Again, I can't point to say, okay, they did this great in game two. They did it. They had a better shot in game one. See, I think where this where the series turned, at least early on, was Duclair scores that goal with 10 seconds to go in the second of the first game. And in the press box in Vegas, everybody's saying, okay, well, this is Florida again. They got a late goal, went off a White Cloud shooting pit. Now they can win this type of game. But then Vegas played a great third period, scored three goals. And then, again, I just think it was just lack of focus. So I think better focus, concentrating on making winning plays, and staying out of the penalty box. That might be cliche, but they have to do this in game three. They have to be more desperate at this point, JB. They have to be the more desperate team, or else it's going to be a very short series.
DB, one of the things I was saying prior to this series, and a lot of people poo-pooed me about this, but the 10 days off for Florida, to me, has really hurt them.
Yeah. The 10 days you could see in game one definitely hurt Bobrovsky. Wasn't on his game. I think they would have liked 5 or 6 days off because they were banged up because, you know, Lustaranen's still out. Barkov was a little bit banged up. I think Bennett was a little banged up. So they would like 5 or 6 days. I don't think it hurt their game with respect to the skaters on the ice. It definitely hurt Bobrovsky because he was in such a heater and he just wasn't the same goalie in games one or obviously in games two. But again, the lack of support in games two, I wouldn't totally throw it on him. But, you know, a couple of those goals, the White Cloud winner in game one got beat glove side. He doesn't get beat by that shot in the first three rounds. So, yes, it was rest versus rust. And at least for Bobrovsky, I think it was way too much rest.
Are the Florida Panthers finding out that, yeah, you can be a bully in the Eastern Conference and play this way? Now you're just running into the biggest bully in the NHL.
Yeah, you can't bully this team for sure. And I think the one move I keep going back to, JB, in the conference final for Vegas. When Cassidy moved Nick Waugh back down to the fourth line and put him with Carrier and Kolesar, that's a big physical line that scored goal. In game six, they scored two goals. Kolesar and Carrier scored. Yeah, they can't push this team around. That line, you're not pushing around Mark Stone. Are you really going to try to bully Mark Stone? And even Jack Eichel. When Jack got hit in game two, I'm like, oh, boy, this could be a turn because it looked like he hurt his ankle. And then Jack to get back from the room, back on the ice, that was huge for this team. They are too big. They're too physical. And you can't – and here's the other thing, Jake. I don't get this. Why are you trying to pick on Nick Hague? He's like 6'6 and 220. Like, that's the guy you want to pick on? It doesn't work because here's the thing. They thought the act that worked against Carolina, which is a much smaller team, would work against Vegas. And as you point out, you can't do that to the Vegas Golden Knights. They should really have started to focus on playing hockey in games one and games two. They did so in one, definitely not in game two.
No, game two definitely was a blowout, DB. And like Tkachuk to me reminds me, and I think you were there last year when he was playing against Calgary, when he was playing for Calgary against Edmonton. Mm. This was the kind of game that he was playing, and it wasn't beneficial for the Flames, and it's not beneficial for Florida right now either.
Yeah, it's, you know, here's the thing. When he doesn't play well, and he hasn't played well, like the clowning stuff aside, when he doesn't play well and he plays that way, he looks really, really bad. That's the problem. When you win and he plays that style, then it's okay. And that's part of his game. He's not going to change. I always make the joke, it's, you know, maybe it's not Panthers, but Leopards that don't change their spots. He's not going to change. But again, is it going to be that effective against a bigger, more physical Vegas team with a big goaltender? It's not. It just doesn't work. Again, he's got to focus on making plays. And the thing is, he does that stuff, but he's a very skilled player. He had 100 points. He's not just some, you know, some fourth liner out there. He's a 100-point player. He's got to get back to the skills that make him a 100-point player if they have any chance to win game three.
Yeah, I mean, game three is huge Thursday night. And we got to talk about the play of Aiden Hill. I mean, we obviously Bobrovsky has not played well, but Aiden Hill, I mean, ever since he's come into that Edmonton series, he's given this team so much confidence, and he's coming up with the timely and big saves and the series-changing save in game one.
Yeah, and he's in the conversation for the Conn Smythe. Like, maybe Jack, maybe Marcus, if he keeps scoring goals. I mean, if he scores four more goals, I have, what, 16? He's probably going to win the Conn Smythe. But Aiden Hill could be in the conversation, and you're right. He didn't start. It was Lauren Brossoit. Like, they kept telling me in Vegas, oh, no, Brossoit's going to be here. I'm like, really? Can the guy even make it through a series? And he couldn't. You know, he got hurt. Aiden Hill's been a great story. They turned him for a fourth-round pick in season, a third-round pick originally. Just a great story. A big guy that covers the net. And the team in front of him blocks a lot of shots. So it's, you know, here's the thing with Aiden Hill. Like, he's making the saves he needs. Yes, the highlight reel goal that is probably be a picture on his wall when he retires. But he's made all the stops. And I always go back to a guy like Mike Smith, who has been spectacular in games, but gives up these really soul-sucking goals sometimes from center ice and bad goals. Aiden Hill has maybe one bad goal, but he's made the stops he's needed to make, JB. And I was on in the air in Toronto, and the host, Roger Lozois, last week made a great point. Maybe you don't need a great goaltender, but you need great goaltending. And that's what Vegas is getting. Great goaltending from Aiden Hill. How long does it last? Should they sign him to a $7 million deal contract? I'd slow up on that. But he's made the goals. He's made the saves he's needed to make. And by virtue of it, he's in the conversation for the Conn Smythe.
I mean, Aiden Hill's been playing so, so well for Vegas. And like you said, Conn Smythe, I think those numbers continue to dip for him. And if he continues to play like this, I would think he gets it, or Marchessault, one of those two guys. But I agree, great goaltending. I heard you guys say it all the time on the hot stove. Mike Smith, just bad goals last year against Colorado. He did the same thing, and the same thing happened to Edmonton this year against Vegas. Just bad goals at bad times. Yeah, it's just awful. But, you know, obviously there's off-season news to talk about as well.
Oh, yeah.
LA Kings, you're – the team you cover, you guys, I was reading the fourth period prior to this, like I always do. Great pieces there. You guys were talking about it, about Sean Walker potentially going, and here we are. Mm-hmm. We get the big trade as Ivan Provorov goes to Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah. Three-way deal that, you know, if you look at it on paper, JB, it helps everyone. Like Columbus is desperate Now, granted, I would like to get a right-hand defensive to go with Werenski, but now their left side has Werenski, assuming he's healthy, and Provorov on your top pairs. That's a start of something, because if you look at their numbers last year, JB, they were just hard defensively. Now, Mike Backpack's going to come in. at the end of the month after his contract expires with Toronto. He's going to put in structure. So there's the makings there, right? That's Philly's doing a rebuild, right? Did they trade Carter Hart? Now that's the question. But they got, you know, they got Peterson, who has some skill, but just lost his confidence. Sean Walker, really good guy. He's going to be great in the room. The Flyers teammates are going to love him. You know, probably he's a 4, 5, 6 defenseman. And they got a first round pick. They got Helge Granz, who's a prospect in the King system, a right-handed defenseman, and the King got, like, you know, 29 right-handed defensemen, so they don't need him. And they got a second-round pick. Now, Granz was a second-round pick, so they got a first. They got a guy who's the equivalent of a second pick and a second-round pick. So it's, you know, I'm interested to see what else Danny does if he does decide to move Granz. And then Kings, yeah, they cleared the space to sign Gavrikov, and they had to do that. They had to bring Gavrikov because behind Mikey Anderson on the left side, they really didn't have much. They had unproven guys or guys that really haven't performed. A guy like Toby Bjornfoot, who's a first round pick, who really was a seventh defenseman. So it's the makings of their top four is now set, right? You have Matt Roy, you have Gavrikov, you have Doughty, you have Mikey Anderson. So that set will Brett Clark get in the mix this year. So it's going to be really interesting what happens with Sean Durzi. Does he stay on the left side? So, but a necessary move. And, you know, Rob Brake privately will admit that that was a bad signing for Cal Peterson. You gave basically an unproven goaltender $5 million a year for 3 years. And a lot of us, including me, thought, like, how are you ever going to move this contract? So kudos to him for undoing his mistake that he made. But now they only have one goalie signed for next season. That's Phoenix Copley, who had a really good season statistically, but they need another guy. And I don't think it's Korpisalo. Korpisalo helped them really help save their season. He was great in the regular season, but that series against Edmonton, I keep going back to game four when they're up 4-3, he gave up a goal that Evander Kane, which shouldn't have gone in. And then Zach Hyman's winner in overtime went through him through his elbow. I don't think he's the guy. If they really want to progress. And now it's two seasons in a row. Yeah. They made the playoffs. Yeah, they were 99 point, and then they even improved this year to 104 point team. That's great. You got to start winning rounds now, JB. You can't keep losing to Edmonton in the first round. So I want to see what else happens. Is it just, okay, this is the team that we're going to bring back, and we hope that other guys develop and other guys aren't as injured as they were? You know, they had four forwards last year that had missed 20 games due to injury. Fiala, Velarde, Moore, and Iafala. If they're going to keep that same group together and those guys can play 75, 80 games, maybe they're better. But again, they had to bring back Gavrikov. They would have to go get two left-handed defensemen. They still might have to get another left-handed defenseman. But again, the Gavrikov move, great guy, great stick, a little bit more aggressive offensively than I thought from Columbus, but a really good move, a move they had to make that was necessary to bring them back. But yeah, some cap magic from Rob Blake. Because again, to move, like, Walker would have value, but the Cal Peterson thing was going to be an obstacle, and he undid his mistake, like I said.
And Cal Peterson, not just Cal Peterson, but Jack Campbell and Darcy Kuemper can thank Cal Peterson for the market that they set for the goalie market.
For sure.
A question on Gavrikov, though. Was Rob Blake pushing for a longer-term deal, or was that just where they had to settle?
I probably think it's the other way around. I think the agent might have been looking for maybe a long-term deal, maybe 4 or 6 years. But look, he's 27 years old. They take him 2 years. And again, I don't have a problem with it not being a long-term deal. Because like at this point with this team, it's got to be season to season. Like, you know, that's it. So not making the commitment for 6 years, because that would have taken him to what, 33? I get it. I think the agent probably would want him. But now it gives Gav another bite at what, 29 years old to go get another contract. And, you know, here's the thing, is the 2 year deal. It's almost like he's 27 years old, but this is like a bridge deal, right? So next, if he has a great season, they do really well, they could resign him next year. If they want to, they want to extend him there. So it's almost like a wait and see type of situation, but no problem with the term. Cause at this point, I'm not a let's look 4 years ahead guy. I'm like right now, especially where this team is, cause this team is in the danger. And I wrote this of being the Minnesota Wild. A team that always make the playoffs, that you're not afraid of playing, and they can't seem to get over the hump. That's my concern with LA. That, look, they got to a point where Todd's done a great job. When Todd came in, this team stunk. They were awful. They were like a 70-point team. So they've improved by about 30 points. But now the challenge is, can you get – and here's what I thought. I thought if they beat Edmonton, I really thought they had a shot to get out of the West, and they couldn't find a way to beat Edmonton. So no problem with the term on Gavrikov. Because again, I want to look year by year and what kind of changes they have and who else they're going to bring through the system. But I think it's smart for both the player, because he gets another opportunity 29 to sign a similar contract, and for the team that they do have another left side defenseman other than Mikey Anderson they can rely on.
You mentioned goaltending. Obviously, Phoenix Coppola, you said he's the only goalie signed. If they're not going to bring back Korpisalo, where do you look? And do they make a trade for a big guy like Connor Hellebuyck?
You know me, JB. I always want the big trade. I don't think they will. You know, and it's absurd. Like, look, Connor's 30 years old. He's a $6.1 million cap hit. They'd have to probably – and they have to sign Velarde to a contract, and he had a really solid season. So I think it'd have to be another three-way deal. I would assume you'd have to trade one of the fours that I mentioned, probably Niafalo. He's making $4 million. You could do it. I don't see him swinging big because then you have to re-sign him and extend him. And, like, I would go for it just for 1 year to get over the hump. If you like him and it works, that's great. I think he's still – he's back to his form. I don't think they go that route, but there are other goaltenders available. Does one come to mind immediately? No. Like they're not trading for – the Ducks aren't going to trade John Gibson, right?
Yeah.
Right? So they're probably going to go get a, you know, $2 to $3 million. I'll give an example. And Marty Baron brought this up when I was on SiriusXM with him and Steve Cooley this week. Maybe a Freddie Anderson. That might – you know, at $2.5, $3 million a year, that could be a solution for this team. Is he a championship goalie? Hasn't won one. So we'll see. So I don't think they're going to swing big. I always like the big swing. I don't think Rob's going to do that, but he does need to find a 1A, actually, because I think Phoenix Copley is a great second second goaltender. I think that's a perfect role for him, but maybe Anderson's an option. But I don't really – can't put my finger on another solid option for this point in time. But the great thing about the goalie carousel, JB, there's always going to be three or four goaltenders you can go to in a pinch. Maybe Varlamov, he's on the last year of his deal in New York. Maybe that's an option as well. Again, the big swing that I want to take, they usually don't take in LA.
Yeah, I mean, they did it with Fiala. Was it last year, year before? Yeah, last year, right? They went for Fiala. Yeah,
last offseason, yep.
Yeah, do you see any other big – I know you want the big move. We all love the big move. What are the other priorities for Rob Blake this offseason?
I don't think it's a lot because not a lot of cap because they have, you know what, four restricted free agents that need deals. So I mentioned Velarde, Anderson Dolan, Kapari, and there's a fourth one that comes to mind. I think Brunstrom needs a deal. So there's not a lot of I think this was the big move, right? This was a big move to make this move to get Gavrikov in. The big move internally was that Gavrikov. I think what you see is what you get, and here's what they hope. They hope that Quentin Byfield wakes up and doesn't score three goals next year. And is Brant Clark like Quinn Hughes? Is he that level of player? Because they expect great things from Quinn Hughes. I think, like I said, health. Because you look at their fourth line, they're three guys, Grunstrom, Lazat, and Kaliev, all scored double-digit goals. That's really good. That's really good production from your fourth line. So do I think there's going to be another big trade to bring in a big winger? I don't. I would think they might need another scorer. But again, and now people are saying, well, maybe you have to trade a guy like Victor Arvidsson, which I would absolutely not do. I know it is in the last year of his contract, but now he's a playmaker. He's a great passer. They need him. If you really want to win around next year, would I like to see an upgrade one more scorer on this team? I probably would. Would I have a problem with them staying intact and not making any other big moves other than signing a goaltender? I wouldn't. I think they're going to go with what they have. And again, I think the whole key is Byfield. If Byfield can get 15 to 20 goals and he's going to be back at the 3C maybe, then that's going to work. I just think they need more size, JB. When I watch Edmonton and I watch them hit them, and you see like guys like Evander Kane go through the slot and go to the crease and bang guys around, they just don't have a lot of size. I'd like to see them swing for one type of physical presence. And like Zach MacEwen, nice guy, but he's really a 13th forward. He's a big guy, but he goes up and down. They need a forward with some size and some skill, maybe a bottom six guy that can help them because they get pushed around a little bit. They're not the biggest team in the world. And as you can see, JB, we talk about it, Vegas is big.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is big, right? I mean, and you look at all the teams that have won have big defenses, like Colorado, like Tampa's got big defense, and the Kings don't really have a lot of size. I think Rob might want to look at a bottom six option with some size and sophisticality that might help this team, especially in the postseason.
I can't, you know, stop talking about the Kings without Anze Kopitar, his future. I know what he's got 1 year left on his deal. Any talk about what they expect to do going forward?
Yeah, well, I know Kopi really well since he started here. Kopi, and he asked them in the exit meetings after the playoffs were over about it. He wants to be a one-team athlete. It's important to him. They'll find a way. Do I know what the term will be or anything like that? I assume maybe a two-year deal, one-year deal. maybe he does like Joe Thornton, keeps coming back on one-year deals. He wants to stay in L.A. He has a home here. He loves it here. He's had success here. So they'll find a way. It's going to be interesting to see what that extension is going to look like. But I would be shocked because, again, Jimmy, he played great last year. He was fantastic, right? I mean, he's a Selke candidate. He's a Bing candidate. I think he had 4 penalty minutes. Imagine playing 20 minutes a night as a center in this league and having 4 penalty minutes. He had a great season. So all the people that were questioning him at his age in the mid-30s of still being effective, that's fine. And that's the thing. That's why Byfield has to emerge if they think he's a center, because Kopi can't play this way forever. And if the window's open now to get to a championship, they need Byfield as well. But Kopi will stay in Los Angeles I assume a 1-year, 2-year deal more. But again, there's a guy he can't regress, right? He still has to play at this level for them to be a contender. But he'll stay in Los Angeles. He's happy here. And I'm excited to see what type of deal they want to structure with him, especially coming off the fact that you thought another guy who would retire in Los Angeles, Jonathan Quick, did not retire here.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that the Quick trade, I mean, from the outsider, it looked like it was like a complete mess on how it was handled. But I know you were able to catch up with him at the Stanley Cup final. You were probably able to talk to him about it. I mean, just what went down with that whole trade?
Well, Jonathan Quick, let's go back to where it started from, where this whole process started. Jonathan Quick wanted a 2-year extension from the Kings last summer. And they said, not really. We'll think about it. And that was the impetus. And here's what happened. So they were right. Jonathan Quick didn't play well in Los Angeles. And he wound up getting dealt out. But what happened? One or two things need to happen, right? Either, I don't think the day before Jonathan Quick got traded that Rob Blake said, I'm trading Jonathan Quick. I think there were conversations probably a week, 10 days before the trade deadline about making that move, right? So at that point, you should have pulled Jonathan aside and said, by the way, you've got an .880 save percentage. Something might happen. Right? Or when you trade the greatest goaltender in franchise history, a guy who won a Conn Smythe, the 2 Stanley Cups, you get on a plane to Winnipeg and you sit him down after the game and say, we've traded you. Rob didn't do either. And that's the mistake. And Rob owned it. He wasn't handled the right way because he deserved that respect, Jonathan Quick. He does. He deserved one thing or the other. Not to get blindsided by a phone call. Oh, by the way, you've been traded to Columbus. Is Jonathan Quick thankful that Kekalana moved them back in the division to Vegas? Of course he was. Is he a goaltender that's going to help Vegas win the Stanley Cup? No, but he's certainly going to help mentor and has helped out Aiden Hill. So he's certainly happy he didn't finish the season in Columbus. I don't think anybody would be happy to finish the season in Columbus, DB, right?
I wouldn't want to be there, DB. I wouldn't.
Yeah, and look, I asked him, and of course what Vegas did was just so classic Vegas. At Media Day, they put Martinez and Quick on the same dais, right? You know they did that on purpose to like just tweak the Kings fans and the organization. But yeah, he's happy. There's 4 ex-Kings on this team: Amadio, McNabb, Martinez, and Quick. So Quick's comfortable. He's an hour away from his home in Los Angeles. Like Kekalana did a huge favor by moving him out to Vegas. Now, people ask me, can he get his name on the cup? Look, he'd have to play 41 games for that team in the regular season or play a cup final game to be eligible. Now, could they petition the league and put his name on the cup? Fine. I don't think Jonathan Quick cares. I don't think he cares about his legacy. He just wants to play hockey, go home, watch some football on TV and stuff like that. He's a very, very, down-to-earth guy. But I'm sure he's happy to be around a winning organization and with some of his buddies on the team.
You'll get a kick out of this one, DB. So I was up in Vermont, Burlington, years ago for MS tournament. Guess who I see poolside at a random hotel in Burlington? Jonathan Quick. Yeah, that's where there's a bachelor party. Like him, I think he was for his brother or something. Like they're just chilling poolside. I'm like, yeah, this is Jonathan Quick. So Jonathan Quick.
He's the opposite of LA, and he's a kid from Milford, Connecticut, and he's just he just wants to win. He always defers to his teammates. He's a great teammate. All the guys love him. I know Kopitar and Brown, a bunch of guys. They just love Jonathan. And, when Kopi was certainly upset. Brownie's retired now. It was kind of a shock. You would think that would be the guy. Look, it took some balls for Rob to make that trade. Like, it wasn't a popular trade, but it was necessary because he couldn't deliver the goods, and Korpisalo didn't regular season. Their season was in the balance with Copley and Quick, and Peterson was in the minors, and that's why he's moved on as well. So I get it. I understand it. But Jonathan Quick's beloved. Yeah, he'll get his jersey lifted to the rafters whenever he decides to retire. Maybe there'll be, you know, a 27 statue outside, you know, crypto.com arena at some point for him. But I'm glad he landed on his feet because he's meant a lot to people in Los Angeles. He's still beloved. You know, I tweeted a picture of him and Marty and people like going crazy because they still love him. They understand that his best days are behind him. But he's still beloved in Los Angeles. So it's good to see that he's happy and healthy and part of the organization, even though he's not going to be an impact player for Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it's just good, feel good story and good for him and everything. Yep. Just going around the league real quick, you see what, you know, what Montreal did with Cole Caulfield. I know New Jersey's trying to do the same thing, try to get that salary hierarchy. Is that something like a lot of teams are trying to do with this cap being in like flat for right now?
Yeah, that's the problem, JB, is that you would hope that, you know, the league and the PA would find a way to raise it a little bit. Great deal for Montreal. Now, if Cole Caulfield is going to be a 45 to 50 goal scorer, that's a value contract, less than $8 million a year. And now him and Suzuki can be paired as a tandem in the future. And for Meyer, yeah, they're going to have to find room to, and they got to figure out what they're going to do with Jesper Brad as well. So it's going to be interesting and tricky for New Jersey. And there's, you know, a lot of guys left. There's a lot of guys that left through free agency. So we're going to see, but it's tough to navigate because the cap wasn't going up much, but you know, Fitzgerald's done a great job in New Jersey. He'll find a way to extend Meyer long term, and then they'll go from there.
Real quick touch on the Rangers. I know from the metro area. Yeah. What do you think they do there head coach wise?
I think because of the delay, I think they're waiting on a decision on Joel Quenneville. I think that's what's happening because Hines is available, Laviolette's available. They could go to the minor leagues and get Knobloch. He's available. There's a lot of guys who are available, JB, yet they haven't named a coach. I think they're waiting from a determination from Gary Bettman to see if Kenville's eligible. And if they are, if he is, I think they're going to pull the trigger on him. That's why I think now I could be wrong. They could do it, you know, 2 days from now. I think that's what you see the delay for because, you know, there are other announcements being made throughout the league. It's not like there's an embargo with respect to news. Teams are making all kinds of moves. You heard the thing about Babcock. I think that's it. Would Hines be good for this team? Sure he would. Would Lavi? I think Lavi's just looking to coach every team in the Metro before he's done. He's doing the campaign throughout the Metro. Two quality coaches that would – Lavi would fit in perfectly. I think they're waiting on Joel. I think that's what the story is. I think that's why the delay, but we'll see in the coming days.
Yeah, and you mentioned Gibson before before we get you out of here. Pittsburgh a fit maybe or someplace else? I know the Ducks looking to move him.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, I would say Buffalo. Buffalo would need a goaltender as well, but he's pricey, right? You're going to have probably like $6 million. I think the Ducks, they say they don't want to retain. They may have to retain a little bit on that goal. Because is he $6 million goal? Yeah, when he's playing great. But, you know, it's hard to gauge John Gibson because I believe the Ducks gave up the most shots ever last season. and so it's kind of tough to say, oh, the goalie's not as good as he was once. So I think Pittsburgh, Buffalo could be an option. Could Edmonton be an option? Because do they really believe in Stuart Skinner? I don't know. But, yeah, I think Pittsburgh and Buffalo in the East would certainly be two teams that would be interested in John Gibson.
Well, DB, thank you so much for coming on the Full Press NHL podcast today prior to Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, going around the league, talking some Kings. It's always a pleasure to get to talk with you.
Whenever you need me, JB, I'm there for you. Great talking to you.
I appreciate this. This has been the Full Press NHL podcast with the great Dennis Bernstein of the Fourth Period. You check him out. Sirius XM, NHL Network Radio, every Saturday, Hot Stove, Kings of the Podcast. You get this iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Enjoy the Stanley Cup Final, everybody.